Our text is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, our Lord's interview with Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? In our first message of this series, we considered the transitional passage of John chapter 2, the final verses, verses 23 through 25. We first mark the connection between that passage and chapter 3, for there is a transitional particle in the original language, and some of you do have your Greek New Testaments on your lap, and you will make frequent use of them in our study today. We should translate and or now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This passage that we have read then is related to that transitional passage, and it is important to note this. We noted then that the miracles credentialed our Lord's mission and His message. Those 2 weeks of miraculous teaching, preaching, and wonder signs performed at Jerusalem during the Passover season, as described in the final verses of chapter 2. We noted yet again that John, the author of this gospel, witnessed to the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ when he stated that our Lord had a full and constant knowledge of the inner workings of man's minds and hearts. We finally noted in that transitional passage that all faith is not true saving faith. There's a transitional faith, a temporary faith, a theoretical faith. There are other types of faith, and these were exemplified by the people who saw these miracles. Nicodemus was there throughout that time. We find this from the second verse of this third chapter. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we perceive that from God you have come a teacher. For no man can continue to do the miracles you are continuing to do unless God be with him. Nicodemus may have witnessed our Lord cleansing the temple in chapter 2. Nicodemus may have heard our Lord say, Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise, which was a distinct messianic claim. We do not know, but one thing we do know, he was evidently one of the many who continued to witness the wonder signs or the miracles that our Lord did throughout this Passover season at Jerusalem. Unlike the others, however, Nicodemus, one out of that entire multitude, took it upon himself to seek a personal interview with our Lord. There may be many who are religiously affected in a passive sense. They hear a message. They read a book. They read a tract. They hear a hymn. And for a few moments or a few hours or for a day or two, they are concerned about their souls, about their spiritual state. But it usually passes unless they take this and work upon it and set their hearts to seek the Lord. Nicodemus, in a very literal and physical sense, sought our Lord. And by the time this interview was finished, he was rewarded and God blessed him with a change of heart. What I want to do in our study this afternoon is to open the passage before us that we might understand it and we might understand the mindset and the state of shock into which Nicodemus came in his interview with our Lord. It was certainly not what he anticipated or what he expected. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We become acquainted with him in verse 1 as to his character and to his position. He was a Pharisee. The word Pharisee is derived from a root word in the Hebrew, farash. Farash means separated. He was one of the separated ones. He was a strict Pharisee. He was one of the orthodox of the day. He believed in the supernatural. He believed in spirit beings. He believed that God gave gifts to men. He believed in the future resurrection and the hope of Israel. He believed in a coming Messiah. Further, he was a ruler of the Jews. This means that he was a leader of the council. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, the 70 ruling elders of Israel. He was then one of the most profound and prominent individuals in all of Judaism, and he lived in Jerusalem. He had a great reputation, as we shall see, and he's the most influential individual who ever voluntarily came to our Lord during his earthly ministry. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Literally, that from God, emphatically, you have come a teacher, and you continue among us as a teacher. For no one at all can continue to do these miracles that you are continuing to do unless God is in league with him, the closest possible relationship. We see that Nicodemus came to our Lord by night. And this tells us much about his character and his personality. He came to personally interview the Lord Jesus, and that's highly commendable. That he came at night reveals his reluctance to publicly associate with the Lord Jesus. As a Pharisee and a teacher of great reputation, his pride, his position, his age, and his fear of man kept him aloof. And so it is with many today. The fear of man, our position, our reputation, our pride, a host of things may keep us from seeking out the Lord Jesus Christ. What would people think if I got religion? How they would disdain me. How I would no longer be welcome in their company. Could I take the derision? Could I take the mocking? Could I take the teasing? I couldn't live with that. But oh, when one is serious about the state of his or her soul, all of these things soon become mere trifles in light of eternity. Study the case of Nicodemus, and let not such things keep you from seeking Christ. What a scene we have before us now. Our Lord is barely 30 years of age. The young, self-taught rabbi from Nazareth. And yet he has this great power which can only come from God. Therefore, he is privy to God's secrets. He can tell Nicodemus the thoughts of his heart. He can answer to Nicodemus the questions that have plagued him all of his life. And so this aged, venerable Pharisee, his long gray beard past his waist, the great rabbi of Israel now is going to meet this young man, this self-taught rabbi, and they're going to have a religious conversation at night in private. Nicodemus desires a religious conversation, and our Lord answers by pressing the claims of the utter necessity of the new birth to even see, much less enter, the kingdom of God. This is the scene before us. He begins by showing our Lord great respect by calling Him Ravi. Ravi means my teacher. It's the equivalent of doctor or master. It is a title of honor and respect given to only a few. Here our Lord, barely 30 years of age, is so honored by Nicodemus because the wonder signs, the semeia, translated miracles in our English Bible, have convinced Nicodemus that this man has a close relationship to God. And he's the first man in 400 years to credential his ministry with wonder signs. There are many like Nicodemus who are ready to honor the Lord Jesus Christ as a good man, a great man, a teacher, but they are not willing to come to Him as Lord and Savior and bow the knee. Study the life of Nicodemus. Learn this interview by heart as it extends down through verse 21 of this chapter, and set your heart to seek the Lord. Not as simply a teacher sent from God, not simply as a moral man or a good man or a great man, but as He is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Nicodemus says, we know. The plural that he uses here may be the plural of general consensus. There may have been talked among the Sanhedrin. There was among the Jews at Jerusalem in general. We perceive that thou art a teacher come from God. What I want you to note in verse 2 is this. Nicodemus did not come to Him with a question. He wasn't asking a question. He was making a statement. And our Lord in verse 3 does not answer the question, for it was never given. He deals with Nicodemus's mind and heart. He does not respond to Nicodemus's statement. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born literally from above, is the recipient of a spiritual birth from God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you think was going on in Nicodemus's mind? Let me tell you, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus believed his Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish scriptures. Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, was anticipating these things. What of the kingdom of God? When will it appear? What of the Messiah? For 6 months, John the Baptist had been preaching. All Jerusalem and all Judea went out and were baptized by him in Jordan, confessing their sins, including many of the religious leaders. Messianic expectation was high. They believed, according to John the Baptist, that the kingdom of God would suddenly appear. And Nicodemus thought himself one of the foremost to be in that kingdom. He had no doubt he was in the kingdom of God. He wanted to know when it would appear. An earthly kingdom with an earthly king, throwing off the yoke of the Romans. He wanted this. He desired to see it. This man, this teacher sent from God, this man who had God's knowledge and God's power, could tell him the thoughts of his heart. And what did Jesus say? Verily, verily, truly, truly, listen carefully to what I say, a solemn saying, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Our Lord's answer was, it is a spiritual birth that enables us to see a spiritual kingdom. Nicodemus was completely ignorant of the essential qualification to see the kingdom of God, and he went into a state of shock. Everything in his whole religious life at that point meant nothing. 70, 80 years of age, the venerable teacher of Israel, and he's in a state of shock. This is not what he expected. He found himself in complete ignorance of the one essential requirement. He attended to see an earthly kingdom, an earthly king, something political, something military, based on an Old Testament concept. What he was told was, you need a spiritual transformation to enter a spiritual kingdom. In one moment of time, his entire religious life was dismantled, and he's dumbfounded. Look at verse 4. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The language of verse 4 is a rhetorical question which assumes a negative answer and an impossibility. Nicodemus is not mocking our Lord. Nicodemus is faced with an impossibility. Religion to Nicodemus was outward. Religion to Nicodemus was ceremonial. Religion to Nicodemus was in the do's and don'ts of a visible outward social religion. Physical descent from Abraham was its basis. He was a Jew, one of God's favored people. Physical circumcision was its covenant sign, which he bore. Avoiding any overt or outward transgression of God's law was considered a perfect righteousness which pleased God. There was no consciousness of sin or lack or detriment on Nicodemus' part. He believed, as Paul later did, that he perfectly kept God's law. The anticipation of a political visible kingdom was its expectation, with the Messiah as an earthly king at its head. This is what Nicodemus wanted to talk to our Lord about. When would God's kingdom appear? When would the Messiah come? When would we throw off the Roman yoke? When would God's kingdom be upon this earth? We've waited for it all of our lives, and now there's great expectation. And you, for 400 years, there's been no word from God. And now you come credentialing your message with miracles. You can give me the answer. And when the answer came, it's a spiritual work of God to enter a spiritual kingdom, and he doesn't understand it at all. To his utter amazement, Nicodemus sees himself personally unable to grasp the truth of what our Lord is saying. How can a man be born old being? In your Greek New Testament, the word old is in a position of emphasis. For the first time, he becomes intensely involved in the conversation. He's an old man. He's referring to himself. Is there any hope for me? I don't understand what you're talking about. His mother's been dead a long time. He can't under his mother's womb be born. Nicodemus is on the physical level. It's physical, it's material, like the woman at the well. Our Lord very patiently is lifting up Nicodemus from the physical and the literal to the truth and the spiritual. He told this woman about living water. She thought he meant well water, spring water, and she wanted that water. There was something about the Lord that was believable in his personality. She didn't doubt, and neither does Nicodemus. He's a teacher come from God. He has the truth. And when the truth comes, he can't understand it. He's faced with an impossibility. Certainly he cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Of course not. And Nicodemus says this. It's in the language and grammar of the original language. But he's become intensely personally involved now. And he makes immediate application to himself. That has to happen to you and to me. Unless we are personally involved, unless we see ourselves as sinners, unless we have an intense interest in the Word of God and in the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are unawakened, at home in our sin, and condemned in the filth of our transgressions. The first thought of a truly awakened sinner, awakened to a sense of sin, and yet without the comfort of a saving interest in Christ, is this: What can I do to have peace with God? Nicodemus is coming to that point. He is ignorant, steeped in all of the teaching of the religion of that day, having committed perhaps the entire Jewish scriptures to memory. He does not understand one thing that our Lord is saying. Verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Our Lord repeats the same statement again, adding further revelation and further explanation. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom that so concerns you. The more our Lord says, the less Nicodemus seems to understand. Then our Lord separates the fleshly or physical from the spiritual. And everything about Nicodemus's religion is fleshly and physical and outward and ceremonial. Nicodemus came to have a religious conversation with our Lord to gain information concerning the kingdom, which was the major concern of his life. Mere religious conversation usually tends to circumvent the real issues, does it not? The one great essential, as our Lord said, is a new heart and a new mind, a work within the personality which only God can perform. Many can talk religion, but how few there are, even among professing Christians, who can personally speak and converse about spiritual realities. There are many who profess religion who are much in the same state as Nicodemus at this time. Note very carefully that our Lord gives no directions as to how to be born again. For there are none. There are no directions in the Word of God how to be born again. The new birth, the birth from above, is one that comes in the sovereign work of God in salvation. That work is evidenced by a converted life, conforming itself to the truth of God by the grace of God and the Spirit of God. He simply announces its necessity. Whatever Nicodemus will say, our Lord puts this obstacle in his path. Ye must be born again to enter that kingdom which is your greatest concern. Apart from the effectual work of the Spirit of God, man is left to that which is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Man at his best can rise only to the religious level. Man at his best can only rise to the mental, the psychological, the superstitious, or the philosophical, but man left to himself can never rise to the spiritual level. That spiritual life must come from God and from God alone. Ye must be born from above. Ye must be born again. Now, verses 7 and 8. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Our Lord knows the thoughts of Nicodemus. He knows why Nicodemus came that night. His great concern is the kingdom of God. He thought he was in it. He thought it was soon to appear that Messiah was to come, and so this teacher come from God was evidently preparing his way as John the Baptist had. Certainly he knew the answers to Nicodemus' most probing questions. What he's told presents to him an utter impossibility, and he's completely at a loss. He's in a state of shock. His whole religious life is crumbling about him. Here he is, the teacher of Israel, this great and learned man, and he's ignorant of the one essential to be reconciled to God and enter His kingdom. He finds it's a spiritual kingdom. And in his outward ceremonial religion, he has no idea of what our Lord is speaking about. He knows the thoughts of Nicodemus, and he evidently sees the look of amazement on his face And so he admonishes him. Do not even begin to be amazed. Aorist subjunctive of prohibition. Do not even begin to be amazed. And then he repeats his first statement. Marvel not. Don't even begin to marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. He compares regeneration to the blowing of the wind. The issue is that the wind is invisible, but its effects are seen. Regeneration is a work of God wrought within the personality, the soul, the inner being, the heart of man. But it is manifest, it is seen in its effects, in a converted life that is delivered from the reigning power of sin. In verses 9 and 10 now, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, you are the teacher of Israel, and these things you do not know. Such is the word order of the original. Our Lord rebukes him. He even seems to take away his reputation. Nicodemus was known as the teacher of Israel. A title of great respect. The definite article is there. The teacher of Israel. He had all of this knowledge. And yet he was totally ignorant of a spiritual birth and a spiritual kingdom. It is possible to be intensely religious and be unregenerate. It is possible to have a comprehensive knowledge of the Word of God and be utterly blind to the truth it contains. It is possible even to be a religious leader and be completely bereft of the grace of God. Our Lord hints and implies that Nicodemus from his own scripture should have known. We speed the Old Testament has much to say concerning the heart, the circumcision of the heart, a change of heart, a renewed heart, making a new heart. The new covenant prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31. In their hearts and in their minds I will write my law. Ezekiel chapter 36 verses 25 through 27. And I will put clean water upon you and ye shall be clean, and from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The cleansing, the renewing, the enabling aspects of regeneration. Nicodemus had them in his own scriptures, but was blind to their truth. Before this interview is over, our Lord will go on through verse 21. He will show him the reality of spiritual truth, the reality of the atonement, the reality of God's love to the Jews and the Gentiles, the reality of His atoning death and the utter necessity of saving faith. And Nicodemus will leave that interview a changed man. A few months later, he makes a timid defense before the Sanhedrin of our Lord. 3 years later, he comes and purposely defiles himself for the Passover by taking our Lord's body and anointing it and burying it. Grace makes a man bold. Nicodemus began as a trembling, blind, aged, prideful Pharisee. He became a weak believer, but grace made him strong. And the last we hear of him, he has an open testimony to the grace of God. He, by a spiritual birth, entered that spiritual kingdom. Are you in the case of Nicodemus? If so, then seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to His Word. Obey it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, bless Thy Word. Glorify Thyself. Enable us to open these passages and glean what truth we can from those things that have become too familiar to us. Bless, we ask. Glorify Thyself. Honor Thy truth. Honor the gospel of Thy Son. We commit this to You in Jesus' name. Amen.